Energy electric, rhyming so hectic. Content of the song, you can probably fucking guess it. It's just me talking shit over a funky ass beat. Metaphors full of bullshit, hit you like a stampede.
Welcome to the lousy wrestling podcast. The shittiest wrestling podcast in America. Only on the Lousy Weather Media Network. Now. Here's the show.
I was sitting there during that going, holy shit, how long is this intro song? And it was 30 seconds on the dot. Like, so it's not that long.
I watched you make it, and I knew it was 30 seconds. So does it but, just, I think it's because we've had it for so damn long.
Yeah, I'm tired of hearing that you're it. Like, I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah. It's like, we're like, it's time for a new one.
Yeah.
Didn't I say that like almost a month ago? Like, are we getting a new,
energy
like,
electric. Rhyming so hectic.
Like,
continent to sun.
I think you destroyed his hopes when you just slaughtered him in the basement that one day.
When battle wrapped him, yeah.
It wasn't even a battle wrap.
Talking
it was
about,
a slaughter.
Talking about Slim, the guy that does the intro music for us.
You called it a battle wrap. It was just a slaughter. A lamb to the slaughter. That's all it was.
I don't even remember. I was drunk and just started freestyling on the kid, which I'd never do.
You never do.
Never done.
And
I pulled out the old man dad strength out of nowhere. And just
and you only fucked up one thing. You should have talked about decapitating his head instead of you said something else. I forget. And I was like, all you had to do was talk about decapitating his head and
I would have been gold.
You would have had a fucking, you'd been like a Dave Meltzer 7-star match.
So anyway, it's the Lousy Wrestling Podcast. What episode is it today, Derek? 58?
59.
I think we've gotten so sporadic on these uploads lately that it's 59. You're completely correct.
59.
Episode 59. We haven't uploaded an episode since August.
Since August.
Holy
it's
shit.
It's been a minute.
Holy
Because we took a week
shit.
Off.
Shit.
And then this week.
And then we missed a Sunday.
And then we.
You're right. Okay. Okay.
So it's been,
all right. All right.
It's been 2 weeks.
So it's the Lousy Wrestling Podcast. You've never heard the show. Derek and I do a Twitter poll every week on a random event. Usually, like we just put three events on a poll that you know fall in line some sort of topic, and then we will whatever wins the poll we review. Normally we do talk some current wrestling and stuff too, but neither of us have been watching anything lately, so we're just going to forego that
well,
today.
Well, current would be this past Monday and Tuesday, and
this past
I haven't
Monday
watched
and
it
Tuesday,
yet. Normally that's
it
my
either.
Wednesdays,
all right.
Since we do our podcast.
Oh yeah, because we would have been talking about last week's wrestling.
Yeah,
so normally we have a normal schedule.
Just
but
tell them again, you fucked up.
Our schedule's been erratic, man.
No, it's cool.
My schedule with the work so Saturday, this is what happened, was Saturday I was going to hit you up to record Saturday night.
And then you told me you got a double.
Yeah, I was there at work and they were like, hey man, are you trying to do a double today? And I was like,
instantly, yes. You didn't even hesitate. You was like,
said,
yeah, sure.
I actually said, no, not really. And they were like, well, why not? What do you got going on? I was like, I'm like really interested in sleep because I hadn't slept in like 3 days because Chad's show was the night before.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm really interested in sleep. Yeah. So like, and then I made the mistake of going, well, how late is the shift?
You set yourself up.
And then they were like, we'll get you out of here at 10. No problem. We'll get you out of here by 10 with no problem. And he was like, well, I got one other phone call to make. And then I was like, all right, well, talk to me after you make that phone call.
He
never made that phone
call. He took that as a...
It was, Sean, you got to clock out at 3:15 and be back at 4:15. And I was like, say what now? Like, you know what I mean?
I've been like, I'm not clocking out at all. I'm just staying this hour now and just working straight.
I had to come and feed the cat, so I just did it. But I honestly thought about just clocking out and not going back. Like,
I mean, what would they have done?
And I could have just called Debbie that day and been like, hey, put me on 5 days next week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't have mattered. But anyway, so working the two jobs, getting stuck on doubles. So then and then the car like fucking broke down on the way home Saturday night. So after I do the double, my car fucking starts just stopping in the middle. Like, I was in the middle of an intersection and the car just stopped. And I was like,
people are laying the horn on.
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, and then finally it starts going again. So then I start, when it does it to me, I hit the e-brake and it starts letting go. So I was like, okay, the e-brake's fucking up. But how good is that for your car that every time you're turning, the car's squealing to a stop and you're hitting the e-brake to let it go? Like, yeah, it was bad experience. So
were you filming recently for Jackass?
By Sunday, By Sunday, I was just like, I can't do anything. I can't do anything with my life ever again. And then, you know what the best part about this shit is? Not this coming Sunday in 2 days, but next Sunday, I'm straight up scheduled a double now. And now I'm just working 9 to fucking close on Sunday. Like, and I was
kind of
like,
your football life is gone.
It is kind of funny because when I applied, they were like, all right, so what are your schedule availability? I was like, anything except for Tuesday and Sunday. No Tuesday, no Sunday. Give me as many hours on all the other days.
And they have you piled up on Tuesdays and Sundays?
No, I haven't worked any Tuesdays, but I've worked every Sunday since then. So, yeah. You know how that goes.
You see how well they looked at your availability.
Yeah.
Tuesday, okay, don't need you. Yeah. Sunday, you're here. Fuck yeah. You.
It's football season, bro. You're here. So anyway, so this week we're kind of foregoing the classic, or I mean the, oh shit, that'd be funny the if we just classic. We just
the podcast is over
yeah,
now,
the whole
people.
Reason we do
Five
the podcast, we're foregoing it. No.
It was kind of like the blog you were talking about.
Yeah.
Like you just blogged them.
Like we're just putting it out there to see what you guys
just tell
think.
You fuck off. Like, yeah. we're
like,
not
hey,
doing it.
Don't expect too much from this.
That's funny.
So anyway, I did get a comment on the lousy weather.
Are we getting a small disclaimer for this one? Don't what? Expect too much out of this
yeah,
one?
Yeah, that's what nice. I might just put that in the title. Nice. But today we're going to be reviewing the war to settle the score
you
from
just
1985.
Said you got something for...
I'll get there, oh, yeah. All right, all right. I just wanted to preface this just okay. in case they're new listeners. We will be reviewing.
We did get new listeners. I see new followers, so I'll
and
let
it's
you do
in
your
the,
deal
And it's in the it is that will be in the title what show we're reviewing technically, but yeah, the war to settle the score we're reviewing today from 1985, and it's basically the build up of the rock and wrestling connection to the WrestleMania 1.
I got my Aquanet ready.
Yeah, so you definitely got your Aquanet ready. Your hair is teased, and. And so we'll be getting
I'm
into that.
I'm looking like a bad Vince Neil at this point, just starting off.
Anyway, the story I wanted to say was I was at work yesterday, and my phone goes off, and I look at it, and it's a comment on the Lousy Weather Media wall from Scott E. Stevens. Remember our old friend Scott E. Stevens from
I've been waiting to FCWF. Another Fortitude, but I've been a little busy recently, and now I've got my new schedule, so I can finally start going back.
He was like, do you all still do that stupid wrestling show? If so, you better be talking about me and Michael Vega winning. And I better check the comment, because if he actually said me and Michael Vega, or myself and Michael Vega and not Michael Vega and I'd be like, fuck you, motherfucker. He definitely did say, if so, you had better be talking about myself and Michael Vega. Scotty Stevens, it's Michael Vega and I.
I kind of like. I kind of like it the other way. fuck my partner. It's me. That's what I like.
Anyway,
it.
They won the FCWF Tag Team Championships last month, and they're going to be defending them October 12th. I was like, I just basically was like, oh God, Cyndi Lauper.
Oh my God! Right into the classic review. That's funny.
I was kind of like, bam, bam. That'd be awesome if that was my response. Oh, gee, what the fuck? What is happening?
Now your tablet's like your e-brake is just starting whenever the fuck it wants.
I'd turn it down.
That's
awesome.
Jesus.
That's funny. God, I cannot get it to stop. There it goes.
That's what she said.
All right, so... Anyway, I was like, unfortunately, man, we haven't been involved with FCWF in a while. Like, where have you been at, man? Spike quit the show in, like, what, Christmas time?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there?
But, I mean, I've been trying to go to events, but now I finally, working third shift kind of sucks.
Yeah.
So it kind of, like...
Now you're off
now,
the third
now
shift,
I'm
and
off
now you
the
can
third
actually
shift.
Go.
Now I can finally start going, yeah.
Yeah, because we do support local wrestling here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so... For but sure. Anyway, yeah, so congratulations to Scotty Stevens.
And fuck your partner, obviously.
And yeah, or start introducing him first.
I like the fuck your partner point. Like, it's me, myself, and kind of like the Stone Cold thing. Like, mm-hmm. I'm the champ. Fuck whoever's my partner. Don't matter. I'm the champ.
Yeah, Stone Cold will just throw the belt in the lake. He don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
So anyway, you want to do this review? The war to settle the motherfucking score?
Yes.
All right.
Let's do the score to start the war.
All right, now there's This was back in 1985, man.
I'm surprised you didn't stop me when I said the score to settle the war.
The score to settle the war.
I said it on purpose like that.
Well, they kept saying the show from 1984 is definitely called the Brawl to End. No, the Brawl to End It All. And they kept referring to it as the Brawl to Settle the Score or some shit like that during the show. It kept fucking me up. I'm trying to look through my
notes.
Yeah. Okay, so the event from 84 is definitely called the Brawl to End It All. The event from 85 is the War to Settle Score. But the whole time during this War to Settle Score, when they would refer to the Brawl to End It All, they would call it the Brawl to Settle the Score. Or Brawl to End... Was it the Brawl to Settle the Score?
Yeah.
They're like, we had the Brawl to Settle the Score, now we have the War to... And I was like, hold on, that's not... Or Brawl to... What the fuck was he saying?
Sean, too much Aquanet.
God damn. I know he was saying it wrong this whole event, and god damn it, I wish... I might have it written down.
Was it Alan Hunter saying it wrong?
No, Gene.
It was Gene?
Yeah, so anyway, we open the show with Hulk Hogan just cutting a promo, and he's a raving lunatic. He's out of control.
He's on his LSD at this point.
And how long do you want Roddy tortured, brothers? Like, I was like, whoa. He was like, I'm out of control. I can't control what happens to anyone at this moment. And how long do you want Roddy Piper tortured?
I'm glad he was into the promo because I was into, he actually has full set of hair.
Close. Yeah, I was like...
He had more hair than a year later, put it to
that way. This was filmed in February of 1985, I should say that. February 18th. The match did air pseudo-live. I want to say they had a big event, and this was the match they aired from the event. Then they broadcasted like a little bit afterwards live from the locker room. Everything pre-hand up to the match that we're going to be talking about here is pre-taped. Just kind of reviewing... So we're going to be reviewing them reviewing the storyline to get us to this match.
This is a fucking 1 hour, one match, and it's just promo city for...
Yeah. Yeah, the match is only about 10 minutes or 15 minutes.
I was disappointed after like fucking an hour of promos.
So they did have 22,000 people there at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, it looked packed.
And a lot of celebrities too on hand because they were really pushing
it. It was the
this
Rock and Wrestling Connection.
Rock and Wrestling Connection. And it's funny to kind of see the way Vince McMahon would have all the wrestlers brand something. Even at this time, they still do today, and everybody's like, oh, this is cheesy, WWE Universe, and then eventually that's just what we all start calling it.
Yeah.
Or even like that era, it's like an Attitude Era. The only reason why we call it the Attitude Era is because they started putting WWF Attitude on all the banners, you know what I mean? And shit like this, so...
He's good for doing little small things like that.
And then we just accept it. Like, even if we push back at first, like, oh, well, that's dumb, we just all of a sudden
year
are
later,
like,
you're
yeah.
Like, yeah!
Well, it's just
it's like
me,
you're
that's just what they're
it.
Called now. And they're just called the fucking... Called the universe now. That's what fans are called now.
Question, did that start in the video game first?
What, the universe?
The universe. And then they were, WWE, Vince was like, well, damn, son, that's a good idea. And then Scotty's like, you're off. And I'm like, I can't hear shit.
You still record it fine. He just muted it for us, but that's funny. He just walks across all my shit. Earlier, he walked across the keyboard. I was like, dude, if you hit spacebar, you don't understand how much you can fuck everything. But yeah, so where the fuck were we? Scotty fucked me up.
We were at Hulk Hogan.
So we haven't even started the show yet. We got Alan Hunter and Mean Gene opening the show.
But we were talking about how Vince... Brands.
In the universe first thing you're talking about. Yeah. I don't know if they... I really don't know which came, if the chicken or the egg, like, what fucking came
I just
first.
Would think it would be funny that they took it from the video game and was like, universe it is.
It had to have been, like, pretty close to about the same time, because the universe thing didn't, like, become a thing until after 2010, I want to say. Mm-hmm. And universe mode was into the games by 2012 or 11 or so, so... Yeah, it's close. But anyway, so Alan Hunter and Mean Gene open the show. Alan Hunter's one of the original MTV VJs. MTV's been on the air for like almost 4 years at this point in this show. MTV came on in August of 81. We're in February of 85 here, so he was still there. still one of the top dogs there at MTV. And MTV was starting to get into more special live event programming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even looking for programming that surrounds music, yeah, but isn't necessarily music.
Exactly.
That's exactly what we got here in 1985. So anyway, Alan tells us that this will be a wrestling match with social, artistic, and political implications far beyond any other match in history. Right? I was like, social and political?
That's what I thought, too.
Like political? I was like, we're saving the foot. We're tear down. Gorbachev, Reagan tore down the wall just for Hulk Hogan versus Roddy Piper. Once Hulk Hogan got his score settled, he was like, you know, I can settle a score too, my friend, and fucking.
They're off and running.
Oh, Jesus Christ! And then he turns. This is a real fucking conversation. Alan says, "Gene, your objectivity has been shaken." And Gene replies, "Yes, my objectivity has been shaken. And it's been shaken by Roddy Piper about what he said about a specific genre of music." And then Alan interjects, "He hit a woman." And it's just like, holy shit. I was like, all right, strap it. Now you can see why the first 6 minutes of the show took me a half hour to take notes on. Because I was sitting there just like, I was doing cornet face at this shit the whole fucking time. I was just like, oh, huh? Like, I did not know what the fuck I was like, holy shit.
I felt the same fucking way. Like, what the fuck did I just get myself into? Like,
he hit a woman.
Because their conversation was real awkward. Because I don't think it was scripted.
It's like, what? You know, my objectivity has been shaken. Like, I was like, really, dude? Like, you're replying like a 5-paragraph essay, like, in school. Like, you put your topics in the first paragraph and then you use that line to open your paragraph. Your objectivity has been shaken. You know what? You're right. My objectivity has been shaken. And it's been shaken about what Roddy Piper said about rock and roll. Let me give me a fucking break. This is so
But it was
great.
All about hitting a woman for Alan.
Now, and you can see, like, I love when, like, people, because I'll listen to Jim Cornette's podcast for years, when people will write into him and be like, what'd you think of, you know, rock and wrestling? Because this is big shit that we're watching. This is important shit. Yeah. And then, but us as, like, modern wrestling fans, we're looking at it like probably him and a lot of the guys from Memphis and the South and shit were watching it in 1985 going, what the fuck are they doing up there? Like, what the fuck?
They're not wrestling. They're cutting promos.
What the fuck are they doing up there? So they start to show us. They start with basically kind of the genesis of Lou Albano and Cyndi Lauper's relationship. So everything we're watching here is from 1983, when Girls Just Want to Have Fun comes out, to today. Yep. You know what I mean? So Lou Albano and Cyndi Lauper, I guess the story goes they met on an airplane, and then and she just loved him so much, and, you know, being from New York, I'm sure she knew who he was and shit. So, and then he started bringing her to the wrestling matches and
getting her involved.
So Albano eventually turns heel on her and starts to say that, you know, she doesn't appreciate anything he ever did for her, and she couldn't make most of the dates through this feud, so they kind of spun it off into him feuding with her manager and then boyfriend. His name's David Wolf.
Yeah,
that's who that guy was through all this. Because I was like, who the fuck's David Wolf? I had to look it up. I was like, what the f-? Like, they made it seem like, and David Wolf is, you know, I'm like, who the, no one can, I don't know this fucking guy.
Yeah, boyfriend then.
So, anyway, so yeah, David Wolf. And so that he did a lot more of the appearances on TV and shit. So, anyway, they.
She was on tour, what do you expect?
Yeah, they show us, you know, Albano yelling at her on a Roddy Piper segment about how she's ungrateful and shit. She starts beating him over the head and stuff. And then, dude, this is when I was like, I was really like, how far into this shit am I? Because then they're like, But then we found out that Captain Lou Albano just actually only had temporary brain damage. So then they cut to a fucking doctor's office with like,
and he's in the
like voice. The fucking, what, like a pay infomercial like doctor, like, hello, welcome to my office. And they pan out and there's fucking Lou Albano with like two telephone cords just duct taped to his head. Like the old like spiral telephone cord. They just took him, duct taped it to its head and just pulled him off. And he's going, and just like pulling his head. And they're like, see what had happened to Lou's brain. So he had temporary brain damage that made him turn into a bad guy. You know what I mean? Like
this is how people turn into heels.
This is a 2-year angle that ends with him fucking revealing he has brain damage, and that's why he yelled at her for 2 years. So I'm like, holy shit. So
holy
now
shit.
Captain Lou Albano's just got like 5 rubber bands hanging from his mustache, and then it just like pulling the duct tape from his head. I was like, oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
You could tell they were not, you know, had a lot of money then.
Yeah, this is going to be a WWF Mania style recap show. I guess like this is going to be
7 hour long.
Like, all right, this is going to be kind of fun.
You do remember, you do work today.
Yeah, I know. So they give Cyndi Lauper a Lifetime Achievement Award in the ring, apparently, at MSG. And Lauper invites Lou into the ring to share the award with him. And before Lou could get like too far into speaking, Piper interrupts him and smashes the fucking...
He just goes ballistic.
Yeah, he smashes Gold Record over Lou's head. And then when Lauper gets down there to check on Lou, he fucking kicks her.
Punts her, yeah.
Yeah, she like kind of grabs onto his leg and he shrugs her off. It's like one of the most gingerly things ever. He took care of her so much. But anyway, so then David Wolf goes to go after him, and he gives David Wolf the scariest looking body slam I've ever seen in my life. Like, it was like David Wolf was fighting it almost, so Roddy couldn't turn it. And it looked, and then David Wolf is going down. It looked like he was about to drop him right on top of his fucking head. And Gorilla Monsoon even says, like, oh, there he goes, hits him with some pile driver. Like, and it's like, yeah, it's not a pile driver, it's body slam.
I thought it was like a modified DDT, he was going
to
land.
Yeah, I thought he was about to drop this dude right on his fucking neck. He was like, I think it was like David Wolf had to have been fighting it. Like, not knowing kind of the way to do this, not going limp and letting his body
just do the work.
Yeah. Or not going limp, but I don't know how to describe it. I'm sure if we had a wrestler here who knew what he was doing, he'd be able to describe it. But you fucking, you've picked people up and shit like that. And if they dead weight you, it's fucking hard
it's
to pick them up. You know what I mean?
It's not an easy
thing. They kind of have to...
You got to have man strength.
Yeah, they got to give you the little oomph to fucking, you know, to do the little shit with.
That's why they help.
Anyway, David Wolf buckets dropped on his fucking neck. I was like, holy shit, this is scary. I actually watched that body slam like 3 times. So I was like, he's going to drop him on his neck. He's going to drop him on his neck.
That's what I did too. I'm not lying, dude.
So Hogan runs in and clears up the ring. So then they show us backstage with David Wolf on a stretcher. And we start getting like all the backstage reactions of how low of a human being Roddy Piper is. And, you know, every dog has its day, and Piper's going to get his. I got to do a little higher pitch if I want to be Lauper. But
you're almost there.
Every dog has its day.
You're almost
and
there.
And Piper's going to get his. Anyway, so then this is kind of the story of the show for the next 15 minutes or so. Like, and there's kind of no rhyme or reason to it either. Like, they'll show a bunch of the babyface promos, like musicians
and
shit.
This is where Promo City happened. Yeah. It's just like... The baby faces.
It's not even the wrestlers either.
The rock
it's
side.
Like it's like Dee Snider and fucking Peter Wolf. There's like the one dude from shit. There's so many of these fucking Dick Clark and like there's so many of these random fuckers
random
in this shit.
And a few baby face wrestlers sprinkled in.
But they would go back and forth without any rhyme or reason though. It'd be like, Piper, you scalding dog asshole, where you're gonna get what's coming to you, and then the next fucking promo would just be like, I think Piper is right in what he did.
And that was the heel wrestler.
And then there'd be like two or three more pro Hogan interviews, and then like maybe one pro Piper, and then like
four or five more.
Then it'd be like VJ would be like, man, I love MTV, and then Bobby Heenan would be like, music to vomit to. That's what MTV stands for. Just crack me up. But anyway, so all the heel wrestlers start cutting promos after the babyface ones do. Like, they had David A. Schultz and Paul Orndorff, and they were like, he should have done that to kick these people out of our business.
Because they hated Rock.
Yeah, they hated the Rock. So, Roddy starts cutting a promo saying that he punted Cyndi Lauper 12 yards, and that was kind of funny. He was like...
She went like more like 3 inches.
Yeah, he's like, so I hauled back and punted her 12 yards in the ring. And then a woman that's interviewing him's like, but she's a woman. And he's like, oh, you hit me, I'll knock you out. And I was like, that's the, if she hits you, you knock her out. Like, that's not an even retaliation. Like, you hit me, I'll hit you back would be an even retaliation.
If she so happens to get knocked out when I hit her back,
that's a little different. Yeah. But anyway, I was just like, man, this is wild.
Piper was a nutball, dude.
Yeah, Piper, his promos through this, they show a lot
They're
of
great,
Piper
dude.
Promos through here.
They're great.
But he'll just be like, I hate every single one of you. Even you, the wrestling fans I hate, the rock and roll fans I hate. Everyone, I hate you. This is funny. So my favorite part of all the wrestlers cutting their anti-Piper promos, though, is Jimmy Snuka supporting Lauper and condemning violence against women 2 years after he murdered Nancy Argentino. I was like, hell yeah, there you go, Snuka. Really fucking covering up the fucking...
great yeah, A, yeah. Good guy there.
Alan Hunter compares if Hulk Hogan wins the match... tonight, that it would usher in a new Woodstock era of music.
I laugh
where
at
everybody loves each other again.
Dude, I just started laughing when I heard that shit. Because what was the next Woodstock after that? 99?
Yeah, which was
massive rapings going on. Yeah, massive rapings going on. I'm like, only if this guy knew.
Fucking, when... there's a weird thing, too, when they start the show, Cyndi Lauper and Lou Albano reconciliate.
Reconcile.
Fucking, they show, or I mean, Mean Gene going into the promo says, not since Hitler and Staller made up in 43 have we seen two more surprising people, reconcile, or some shit like this. And I was just like, did he just, like, compare Hitler and Stalin to Cyndi Lauper and Lou Albano? They're supposed to be your baby faces. Yeah. Like,
they're giving them heels.
And then not even that much later. I don't even know who's cutting the promo. Some wrestler with black hair looked like Mike Rotunda. Like, it looked like Mike Rotunda from 85. So, I'm not sure who it was, though. But he's like... he says that they should have stopped Hitler in Munich, and one of the guys, or fuck, what the fuck did he say? He's like, they should have stopped Hitler in Munich, and they should have stopped Cyndi Lauper from joining the Rock and Roll Connection, or some fucking weird like thing like this. And I'm like, we're 15 minutes in this program. That's how I knew it took me 45 minutes to write 15 minutes worth of notes. I was like, we're 15 minutes in this program, and we've had two Hitler references already. In 1985, about the baby faces, one pro, one con. Like, where are we at here?
They're a tweener, Sean.
Oh, Jesus Christ. More promos.
Promo City is what I called it.
This is a good one, too. Alan says some shit. They go back to Alan and Gene sitting there. These two were fucking gold in this pre-tape
Gene.
Part. Alan says some shit like, he's like, we're not only talking about a fight here. We're talking politics, sociology, He says, we're not only talking about a fight, but what are we talking about, Gene? Politics, sociology, or aesthetics? And Gene replies, all of them, Alan. All of them. But none of them.
But none of them.
And I was just like...
what?
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck?
Dude, Gene is one of the most confusing guys ever.
My objectivity has been shaken.
Like, this whole thing, I didn't know what the fuck he was talking about because he didn't answer any question at all.
All of them, Alan.
He just
all
redirected it.
But yet, and he puts his finger up to
but
yet, none of them.
You got to learn a Mean Gene voice.
God, dude, that's a hard one. Well, fans gonna call the hotline today. My bad.
No. No.
It was pretty close.
No.
Pretty close. Well, fans, gotta call the hotline today.
No.
Anyway.
Gotta get a little deeper there, buddy.
Finally, we get some backstory on Piper by himself and then some on Hogan. They show the classic
coconut incident.
Him interviewing the guy from Columbus, too, who who wouldn't leave the fucking set, too. Like, Piper's supposed to hit him, and the guy was supposed to just, fall right off set. But Piper has to hit him, three times. He throws a knee, throws the guy off set, and then he grabs the mic and he tries to cut the just when you think you have all the answers, I change the questions promo. And the guy comes running back into frame. And fucking Piper knees him two more times and grabs him. And he's like, get the fuck out of here. And then he doesn't even know the microphone is anymore. So he just walks up to the camera and cuts the promo in the camera. It was cool to see all this fucking footage. The Hogan stuff, I don't even really know what they showed. They just showed him come out and drop a leg and win the title. Yeah, beat the Iron Sheik.
Basically, that's all they showed.
So I think we finally got the match, don't we? We go to ringside.
Piper and Hogan.
Mean Gene and Gorilla Monsoon are on the call for this match. Piper comes out first with Cowboy Bob Orton. Ace, I should say, because that's how they refer to him as Ace Orton.
The bodyguard.
Yeah, and he comes out in a sling. I don't know if he had the cast on yet. This is just when he's in a sling.
I believe he still has the cast.
He has the cast by Mania because he pulls the cast off, and he wore that cast for the next 6 years.
I thought it was the rest of his career.
I think Jim Cornette actually has
one of his cast.
Yeah, the cast he wore for that long, because when Randy Orton was training at OVW, he got the cast from his dad for him.
Oh, nice.
So Hogan comes, or Piper's out first, like I said. And they have a whole marching band come out, a grand entrance for him, which we haven't really seen in some of these pre-85 things. Even if you watch WrestleMania, you don't necessarily get this.
Those, yeah.
So,
wasn't until, later on in the 90s when they would start doing that?
Well,
here and there?
They start doing, I just meant even just entrance music or elaborate entrance, but by fucking the late 80s, everybody had
entrance,
everybody had something. But yeah, so this is where instead of, the heel just showing up in the ring and then the big star of the match getting an intro or anything like that, Piper got a fucking bagpipe intro with the drum line. They marched all the way around the ring and then back, and then fucking Eye of the Tiger started. Bam, 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 bam. I should have had it queued up. Bam, bam, bam.
But your tablet is
on Cyndi Lauper, yeah. I think it's still playing Shebop. Yeah, it's still just playing Shebop on a loop.
I figured you're going to sing Eye of the Tiger first because it took them 12.
They're not in the street. I don't know any of the words. I'm just.
It becomes a Batista song.
It's the Eye of the Tiger burning. Anyway, yeah, and he had Cyndi Lauper.
I mean, you had the voice down perfect.
He had Cyndi Lauper with him. He had Lou Albano,
David Wolf. I think he had a whole fucking crew. Mr. T.
Yeah, Mr. T. There was a fucking whole slate. Oh, Mr. T. was surprise intro. He didn't come out with.
He was at ringside.
Was he already? He was sitting in the crowd or something?
Sitting ringside. Because
I know he was a surprise.
Yeah, because he jumped the fucking guardrail and all that shit, I thought. Yeah,
which is legal. Anyway, Mean Gene and Gorilla Monsoon are on the call. It was actually really cool watching this Hogan entrance, because even by 88 and some of the more known Hogan stuff I've seen over time, it's a big reaction, but it's not like this.
Oh, this is a mad...
Fucking, these people were... They're not like... It's not like, hell yeah, we love Hogan, he's coming out. It's a, fuck yeah! Whoa! the whole fucking time. Whole fucking time. It was a lot like that AWA crowd in the Nick Bockwinkel match.
Exactly, dude.
Like, it was like that fucking passion for him just continued. And that's why he was so fucking over. And it's almost sad that a lot of the stuff we see, like, Hogan still...
It sucks that he sucks at as a wrestler.
Yeah, and also that the reactions, I almost feel like, even though he was on top and the biggest star until probably 92 as a babyface, right? Or 91-ish as a babyface for WWF, I almost feel like his shit is lightweight diluted by 88. Like, his reaction, feel like his reaction's any bigger than fucking Macho Man or LOD or Ultimate Warrior by that time. You know what I mean? This is something different.
Yeah.
I don't think any of those guys got reactions
Are
like
this. Are you sure
this,
it wasn't just Eye of the Tiger?
Might have just been Eye of the Tiger. Okay. Got everybody so fucking amped up.
I mean he was Thunderlips, so maybe that was why, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's what all of this is pretty much about. Because when was that AWA event we watched? That was in 83, wasn't it? The Super Sunday?
Yeah, I believe 83.
So, you know what I mean? And then by early 84, he was in WWF. And then 1 year later, you know what I mean? We're already doing this here. You're trying to find it in there? I'm almost positive it was 83.
Yeah, it's 83.
All right, so anyway, Piper and Hogan opened the match just by swinging at each other. They're both just swing, and the crowd's exploding for this. Mm-hmm. They knew exactly how to work this. And actually, we've said this like four times on this
Probably
show
a better
now.
Probably match that Hogan has worked, honestly.
I was about to say.
The same thing?
We've said this four times on the show because we keep watching actually good Hogan matches that now I'm like, this is the best Hogan match ever.
And then you see another better one and you're like, this is better
this
than
is,
that?
This, he was, I think he was on pretty good point for this match, to be honest with you.
And he had more than five moves this match.
Not even that bad, yeah. So they actually just start swinging on each other. They go the ground and swing, roll over, Piper's on top, roll over, Hogan's on top, and they're just swinging, making it very, like, fucking fight-like.
Yeah,
they have,
like it's a real brawl.
Yeah, they have a fucking 22,000 people, lots of celebrities, lots of eyes watching live on television. Mm-hmm. That have never seen wrestling before.
Yeah, they're just trying to make it a slugfest and get people attracted to it.
They wanted to hook a national audience, and they fucking did it here. You know
what
I mean?
This was definitely the best way to do it right here.
So Hogan then hits two body slams and an elbow, and Piper starts reeling. Gene starts going, Gloria Steinem is here! Danny DeVito!
Just like, started naming celebrities.
Yeah, and he doesn't even like he said one person's here, and then the other one's just Danny DeVito.
Who was there?
Yeah, he was. I mean, but it was just funny the way he yelled, Danny DeVito. I was like, what the fuck? So Piper starts to take control, kicks Hogan in the ear a few times. I like the way I'm like punching now. I'm like, yeah, he kicked him in the ear.
You're getting into the match.
Yeah, I am. Piper locks on.
Are you sure it's not Eye of the Tiger, Sean?
It is. It's still the Eye of the Tiger playing in my head. Piper locks on a sleeper and his arms under the throat. And Gorilla and Gene just, like, cannot stop yelling. Like, come on, this is a choke. This is plainly a choke. Come on, referee, are you blind? This is plainly a choke. It's like, yeah, they... Like,
they were definitely pro-Hogan.
Yeah, and old school, too, because they were like, you can't have your arm under the throat. Like, I can't tell you last time I saw a sleeper where the arm wasn't under the throat. You know what I mean?
Now you
apply.
Just get, like, one of these little tap on
like
the...
Everyone, yeah, I mean, you're supposed to lock it across the jaw because you cannot, because a choke is illegal.
Yeah.
But when's the last time you've seen anybody lock on a sleeper and they don't have their arm under the
Never.
Throat? Never. Yeah, I mean, so anyway.
Especially in modern day wrestling.
So finally, Orton gets involved, and when Piper has the ref distracted, but Hogan fights him off, they do a... they do a... dueling eye rake spot, like Piper rakes Hogan's eyes and Hogan rakes Piper's eyes. They do it like four times with each other. They look like my
little
two
cats.
My cats fighting each
That's
other.
That's funny. I thought the same thing.
Anyway, Paul Orndorff then comes out and they cut the camera on him and he goes, I'm taking Ace's spot. Like, I'm here, don't worry, I'm taking his spot. Like, it was just funny. And then the announcers even call that. They're like, what? They're like, he said he's taking Orton's spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Piper then hits a forearm to the back of Hogan, and Hogan collides with the referee.
So
now that old ass, like, the ref's like one of those just you never saw again after 1985 in WWF referees. Yeah, they're just like old fucking like, I don't even know how to describe
him. To get to the ring?
Yeah, and then he like when he counts, he's like one and like points all fucking weird. Anyway,
your favorite type of ref?
Yeah, it's like fucking Herbert on Family Guy, like the fucking.
That's funny.
That's what he reminds me of. That's the referee.
He's Herbert.
Yeah, Herbert's the referee of this fucking contest. So, where am I at here? He hits the forearm. Ref is down. Piper holds Hogan by the legs down, so Orndorff comes off the top onto Hogan. The crowd, this is when they were fucking cheering.
He dropped cheering. A knee on Hogan, getting right.
He dropped a knee on him. When the crowd was cheering like crazy the whole fucking time, this is where they switched to all boos.
Oh, for sure.
Like, they switched just as loud as they could cheer. Exactly. Yeah, it
was. They didn't even miss the volume sound.
As soon as he came off the top, he was like, ah, woo!
Exactly.
Like, it was, the cat just freaked out to that. It was like, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
So, it's an absolute fucking fire crowd, and they love fucking Hulk Hogan, man. So, Cyndi Lauper then gets on the apron while Hogan and the referee are both down, and Cyndi Lauper's on the apron just screaming and screaming. So, Orndorff and Piper kind of do this thing where they both go outside the ring under the apron and start to, like...
circle her.
Yeah, start to, like, circle her like they're going to corner her. Orndorff kind of gets close, and Piper's still on the other side. And then that's when... and David Wolf, her manager, and a couple other people are trying to pull her legs to pull her off the apron, and she's fighting them off, going, no, blah, 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 blah. And then Mr. T hops the barricade, or wherever he did, or came out from the back, or wherever. All you know is Mr. T's in frame.
Up.
Yeah, all you know is he's there. And he fucking grabs her and just rips her down, which, obviously, he's 9,000 times stronger than David Wolf, because he couldn't do that.
Maybe she distrusted Mr. T more than scrawny ass David Wolf.
And he's like, this guy can actually hold me. I mean, I know we have sex, but I hold you.
Me.
Yeah. So anyway, they start to corner Mr. T. Then Mr. T hops in the ring, like, come on, I'm gonna fight you all. Orndorff dumps to the outside, and then like taps the back of Mr. T's leg. Mr. T turns around to be like, who the fuck? Touch me, and then that's when
by Piper.
Yeah, that's when he gets blindsided by Piper, and then Mr. T kind of
gets double teamed.
Yeah, he gets double teamed for a second, and then like once Hogan wakes up, Orndorff and Piper back off Mr. T and start to look at Hogan, and then Mr. T like kips up or something. Like, he just fucking, like, all I know is all second he was standing.
He's Shawn
immediately.
Michaels.
Yeah, he did a kip up and just boom, there he was. He birthed Shawn Michaels kip up maneuver. Anyway, or nip up, however you want to pronounce that. Kip How up. Do you pronounce it? I've always called it a kip up, but a lot of people call it nip up.
I thought it was a kip up.
Kip up, nip up. So anyway, he knipped up.
Knip?
He knipped up. And which is probably a more accurate description of what Mr. T did when he got up here.
I mean, if it was called a knip up, wouldn't it have an N?
I see it. I've seen it spelled K-N-I-P before, and I've seen it spelled K-I-P before.
Yeah.
I've seen it both ways.
They spell it K-I-P in the fucking game.
In the video games, yes. Yeah.
So I'm taking WWE.
Okay.
But they should fucking know, right?
Yeah, probably. Oh, you would hope. So then Hogan finally comes to. Mr. T nips up, and
so he nips up. Okay,
he kips up. Mr. T and Hogan have a face off with Orndorff and Piper, and that's when like 30 New York cops just go flying into the ring. And I like the New York cop outfit at this time too. They really looked like Jack the Ripper style fucking
officers.
Yeah, like the old English beat fucking era. Like, they're Whitechapel Square. They're just wandering around like, see, we gotta stop them. We gotta break up this match. So they go fucking running into the ring. And then I'm sitting there on the couch going, Tyson and Austin! Tyson and Austin! And I was like, oh shit, wrong era. WrestleMania build up, pull apart.
JR just instantly starts.
Yeah, just played in my head. Yeah, because I even just started going like, Piper and Hogan, Piper and Hogan. After, because at first I said Tyson Austin. I was like, hold on, I got to crack myself. But yeah, it was like it was exactly what it reminded me of, because there's a point where Hogan like gets through everybody and gets Piper for 1 second, and the Piper slips out, and then the cops grab him and shit. Cracked me up. And I was also wondering, it's like they had like 30 dudes in New York police outfits in there. Like, I wonder if they smartened any of them up. Like, yeah, this is a show. This is fake. Like, don't hurt any of our wrestlers, or if they just were like, go in there and break it up, you know what I mean? Because nowadays they would just be a bunch of independent wrestlers and shit.
And you're like, those aren't cops.
Wearing an outfit, but yeah.
You can tell they're not cops these days.
But yeah, these guys, I wonder if they smartened them up or not. Because there's a couple times we saw cops in the ring through the highlight packages, and they're like laughing and shit like that. So
like they kind of knew.
Or they were just like, what the fuck? I can't handle this. You know what I mean?
The laughing cops can't handle that. That's funny.
So I have no idea. So following the match, so I guess the match is ruled a no contest DQ.
Hogan is classified the winner via disqualification.
Via disqualification. So still world heavyweight champion Hulk Hogan.
I didn't even know it was for the belt.
Yeah. And then, but it builds.
They never classified it at the beginning.
Builds to a tag match. Now this is actually a thing, because like Piper back then would refuse, like fucking Nick Bockwinkle would refuse to lose to Hogan and shit like that. So all of their matches always ended in DQs, and
because no one liked him and was like, I ain't losing to Hogan. Yeah, Piper, fuck that guy.
Piper worked with him and had his best matches, but he was like, I ain't losing to you.
Yeah, fuck you. We'll do a draw.
Yeah, he didn't lose.
You'll lose to me years later, buddy.
Yeah, he didn't lose to him until 97 or 98 or whatever. Yeah, so following the match, Gene is backstage trying to interview Alan Hunter about what he thinks about the match, and it's pretty funny because he like stumbles a couple times and he fiddles with his earpiece, and as soon as he gets the question out, which was just something like, you know, what'd you think of the War to Solo score, as soon as he gets it out and he puts the mic to Alan, he fucking takes his earpiece out and looks off camera like, you motherfucker, fuck you, what the fuck are you doing? I was just like he stared daggers into my heart, because the way he's looking is kind of just off camera, where like I'm sitting,
he's looking at you essentially.
He just pulled his earpiece out and was like, you motherfucker, what the fuck do you think you're doing? I was like, you can even see him start to move his lips like, I was
why
like, damn,
you fuck up,
dude. Gene is just like, he's on fire, dude. Always he was. And then in WCW he was just drunk the whole time. You know what I mean? So it's like, he's like, ah, I gotta get a new liver today, like drinking scotch on the rocks and shit. So anyway,
see, that's the only thing WCW fucked up. They should have just sent him down to the fucking middle of the aisle with his scotch in hand and do his interviews right there. Fuck.
He probably would have wanted to. They just didn't let him.
See, so if anyway, they only were sponsored by fucking Jameson back then, they would have worked out a lot better for him.
Cyndi Lauper cutting a promo was pretty fun. I think,
dude, all the celebrity promos were hilarious.
I think by this time, though, Cyndi Lauper had actually gotten pretty good at cutting promos. Like, she'd been doing it for two years on TV for him now. Like, so she's like, well, this match, what, you know, or whatever the fuck. Mr. T comes in. They fucking love each other. He says, only Sissy will hit a lady. Hulk Hogan starts cutting a promo here. And Hulk Hogan's like, you're right, I am the champion, but nothing was settled. The Rock and Wrestling Connection needs your love, brother. And then, like, Mr. T.
And then they said it prevails. That's why I didn't understand.
And Mr. T comes in, and then he's like, Rock and Wrestling, love. I love you, brother. And Mr. T's like, I love you. And then he's like, I love you like a brother, brother. And Mr. T's like, I love you too, and I pity the fool that's going to step in the way of the Rock and Wrestling Connection, brother. I was just like, this is so awesome. And then it's really funny because while they're cutting a promo, you see the door behind them open, and then fucking just Andy Warhol walks in. And you're like, hold on, what the fuck?
What's Andy Warhol doing
here? Yeah, and I actually, like on Wikipedia, it says he accidentally walked in. So then off camera, one of the producers was like, oh, would you love to, you know, do it on camera? Would you love to, you know, get on real quick? And so he stood there and was like, I guess since I walked into the middle of your shoot, I will. And so they're on live TV. Andy Warhol accidentally walked in. They convince him to answer a couple questions about the show. And then fucking, so after Mr. T and that interview and Hogan walks out, Mean Gene's like, now I'd like to introduce somebody who needs no introduction, especially in New York, if you are into art. And like, it was just funny the way he described it. And he goes, Andy Warhol. So Andy Warhol, he's like, what'd you think of the night? And he goes, I'm speechless.
Because he wasn't even there watching.
He was like, wasn't even like, or trying to even talk about it. So Gene asks him like 9 questions, and Andy Warhol gives one word answers to all of them.
Speechless.
Yeah, he's like, how was it? Great. What'd you think of Hulk Hogan? He's big. Yeah, you know, it's like all this type shit. And then at the very,
I want to film him sleeping.
The very end, they're like, Gene asks Andy Warhol, he's like, what do you think about the Rock and Wrestling Connection and how it, you know, stood up today against, you know, the bullies or however the fuck he puts it. And Andy Warhol is like, I think it's just the greatest thing ever. And then he's like, well, thank you, Andy Warhol, for at least trying. Yeah, and he's like,
thanks for ruining our interview.
He actually says, thanks, Andy Warhol, you huge wrestling fan. Always good to see you out at the events. And then lets him off camera. I was like, I wonder how often Andy Warhol was at.
Just that one time.
Yeah, that was the one time he showed up. And then he wanders into a locker room where they're shooting. Like, what? How fucking wild is that? So anyway,
it's 1985.
So then
cocaine was a hell of a drug.
So the door's supposed to be open though here at this point, so they can bring in the celebrities interview. I guess Alan Hunter's like kind of corralling them there, all backstage and off camera. So then was he
the responsible one for Andy Warhol? He just snuck him in there, like
snuck
it's Andy.
In. Yeah,
he's like, it's Andy.
There. Just walk in the door. Joe Piscopo.
I'm surprised you said his name right.
Gets interviewed first, and it's kind of funny. They're like, "What'd you think of the show?" And he's like, "It was hot." And they were like,
giving one word answers.
Yeah,
too.
And he's like, "Yeah, it was kind of like a Bruce Springsteen concert. It was hot." And Gene's like, "That's one of the greatest analogies I've ever heard." And then he's like, "Was there any other matches from the night you liked?" And he was like, "I really enjoyed when the women came out. That was hot." And then Gene's just like, okay, well, Joe, I really appreciate you talking to me, but I'd really like to bring Billy Squire in right now. And Joe Piscopo just fucking starts dying laughing. As soon as he's like, he realizes that he's getting bumped. Like, he's like, I'm getting, well, I'd really like to keep talking to you, but I'd really like to bring Billy Squire Hook. In here now. Yeah, fucking, he just
Gong
goes,
show.
He Ding. Literally goes, and starts covering his mouth laughing and walks off. And then, yeah, Billy Squire actually gives pretty good interview. He answers the questions how he's supposed to. You know,
he's the only one who read the script.
Yeah, he gives more than one word answers. And he answers a couple questions, and then he lets him go, and then he brings in Danny DeVito. And even Mean Gene has to, like, bend over.
The first time you ever see him bend over.
And did you see what they did with the camera, too? Is the camera's up here for everybody else, and when Danny DeVito came on, it was shooting all low and like a skateboard video.
Like, I felt like we just was getting fucking Mean Gene dick shots the entire time when DeVito was on there.
I was cracking up. So Danny DeVito starts answering a couple questions, and this is my favorite part of the whole fucking show. Piper walks in, and he walks in a towel soaking wet, and he looks at Danny DeVito, first thing out of his mouth, he looks at Danny DeVito, and he goes, ha, the planes, and I just started popping, dude, because of fucking the little, what's the guy's name, an airplane, you know what I mean, like, the planes, boss, the planes, and so, yeah, he looks down at Danny DeVito, and he just goes, ha, the planes, and I just started dying laughing, dude, but basically, he challenges Hogan and Mr. T, and the way he describes it is funny too. He's like, you want to bring your whole connection, you want to bring your women, bring the women, you want to bring your black guy, bring the little black guy, you want to bring your blonde guy, bring the little blonde guy, I'll fight all of you. And it was just so funny when he's just like, bring the little black guy. I was like, holy shit, Piper.
After he seen DeVito, everyone turned into a little guy.
It was funny. Ha ha, the planes. I was just dying. And then Mean Gene, after Piper walks away, he says to Danny DeVito apparently was shooting a movie. Him and Joe Piscopo were shooting a movie with Captain Lou Albano at the time. I can't remember what the name of the movie was. I'm sure it was a huge hit. That's why they were there. This is their first event they ever went to. Captain Lou was like, just come on down to Madison Square Garden. I'll get you in for free. What about you?
I did a movie.
Yeah, so Captain Lou was that guy. He schmozzed with the celebrities and brought them into the events and shit.
Oh, for sure.
So, and then, you know, Danny DeVito actually looked pretty, like, impressed. Like, yeah, I'll be out again. And Joe Piscopo was like, well, I'll be here in March for the next event, I guess. Like, you know what I mean? He's like, I'll make it to one more probably because
I'll do WrestleMania.
Yeah, you're paying me for
You'll
that.
You'll pay
one.
Me, yeah.
So, and then Gene's like, well, Alan Hunter, wherever the hell you are, I'd really like you to come back here now, but this has been a great event. The war to settle the score. I'm glad we did this. And then finally, Alan Hunter walks into frame. Like, he was high-fiving with celebrities, I'm sure, in the hallway. Like, hey, guys, yeah, come to MTV and hang out. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, I'm on TV. I want to hang out with you guys. I don't want to do this wrestling thing. But anyway, so they brought him in, and then... So that he's like, oh, this was just, I'm glad this is over. This was a whirlwind of a day. And Alan Hunter's like, you're right, Gene. It really was. And then Gene's like, well, all right, fans, we'll see you next month for, you know, I don't even think they phrased WrestleMania or anything like that in this show. No. Did you hear him say the term once? WrestleMania happened 1 month later, you know. But... So they don't even phrase WrestleMania or nothing. They're just like,
which
we'll see you at the next event. And then Gene signs off, right? He's like, okay, so we'll see you later. Thank you. And then he fucking holds up the okay hand signal. And then you see you hear a girl off camera go, yeah! Like, they were just so stoked that they pulled that off. Like, hell yes, we pulled it off. But you actually didn't pull it off because you just fucked up putting that on camera.
Yeah.
but
everything went good until the... Yeah,
it was just funny because he's like, all right, fans, thank you. And then he just goes, whoosh, okay. And then you just hear, yeah. And it's like, had to have been the producer or something. You know what I mean? Like,
just, ruined it.
Yeah, just off camera was just like, yeah. And then the fucking credits hit and they started hitting the music video and shit. But I thought that was pretty funny. It was like, you know, it's 1985. It was like all of their first fucking... interactions into live programming. You almost want to think it was like a test for WrestleMania. Like, WrestleMania was closed circuit and shit, but it was almost like, can we run program with interviews and stuff like this that people are going to see?
It was kind of like the build-up.
And it is very kind of telling that you didn't even hear the term WrestleMania in this event.
Not once.
Because... Maybe
they didn't even know the name for it.
Maybe they didn't even have the title. They were just like, we're
the next event.
Yeah, we're just building up for our next big MSG, Madison Square Garden show, which is going to be next month. And, you know, we just had the war to sell the score this month because that was a full show.
Let's call it WrestleMania.
Yeah, they only gave us one match on this MTV special, obviously, but it was a whole card. Eight, nine match card. Yeah. Yeah, it had to have been so last minute. I feel like always in my brain, I feel like the WrestleMania name term plan for the event to happen was like a year, 2 year process.
Yeah,
and now I'm more,
when you watch this,
you're
last
more and
minute.
More thinking that like this match was so big and there was so much interest built into Hogan that it was like next month we got to do closed circuit and we got to fucking have a big event and give it a big title. We're going to have all the celebrities in, you know what I mean? And we're going to make this fucking our big
Hulkamania.
Yeah, we're going to call it
WrestleMania.
We're going to call it our big event, you know what I mean? So, and that's how it went.
Yeah, that's I got the same feeling after watching it. I was like, wow. Like,
that is pretty funny.
They never, said anything about WrestleMania. That's why I got the same assumption, too. It was
and
like,
Hulkamania is a takeoff of the Idolmania of the 70s. But you more and more now have to believe that WrestleMania is just a takeoff of Hulkamania.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially after watching this.
I never put the two and two together
because I've always
thought WrestleMania was a term he probably came up with in 83.
Because
you know what I mean?
When you look at nowadays, it's all pre-planned. Yeah, you know, he has everything envisioned. But when you watch this,
he was like Hulkamania, WrestleMania, and we're just gonna keep it. We're just gonna keep the manias going.
He was using his announcer Vince voice. He wasn't like
WrestleMania. That got a little weird, but whatever. Wherever my voice went there, I don't know.
It definitely wasn't a Vince.
So anyway, the War to Sell score. You want to give this a grade? I mean, it was one match and a bunch of promos, but.
It was actually, one of the better Hogan matches I've watched.
Very good Hogan match.
If you just watch
the wrestling match and the post interviews is about what the show's worth. I almost think any wrestling fan needs to kind of watch it.
Any
hardcore wrestling fan needs to watch this. And I had never seen it before. And
dude,
all the pomp and circumstance and fucking promos leading up to it.
The celebrity promos were classic, dude. They were hilarious.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It's a solid
D. Snyder just like I should have written down the list of celebrities, or just everything D. Snyder said.
Dude, he went on for a bit.
I was gonna say I should have written down all the
actual celebrity two-parter.
Yeah, all the celebrities that were in it because there was a lot. I mean, and
there
they
was.
They went and shot these at these people's homes and shit.
Maybe
it was like,
10,
hey, can you
them.
Just like yell something about Hulk Hogan? You know what I mean? Yeah. Or it was probably like anytime these people were doing MTV fucking things too, like MTV would get them filmed, WWF would get them filmed. MTV and WWF.
Lou Albano was friends with a lot of them from doing movies and stuff.
His friends probably filmed. They put in a lot of work together on this, the two brands, WWF and MTV did. And
the first brand extension.
It's just it's funny because why don't you see more of it nowadays? Young promotions even trying to do the same thing. Like I'm sure with Sinclair Broadcasting, fucking ROH has so many things that they could tie themselves to do a co-branded
to a VH1 to
special
a
live.
MTV
VH1 and them
Fox.
Are all Viacom. But
you know what I'm saying? They could team up with anyone.
Sinclair, you can do a lot of fucking. They have to distribute a lot of fucking awesome things to tie up, or you know what I mean. But like you're saying, whoever the fuck owns Pop TV, why doesn't fucking TNA go out of their way to try and do one co-branded fucking special? You know what I mean? Let's put our money into it and let's do it because they obviously
they're out of Kurt Angle's money to do that, Sean.
And TV's a lot different landscape today than it was in, you know, 2002 and as it was in 1985.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Vince was definitely envisioning something different.
If TNA would have done something more of this nature in 2002, instead of, like, you know, having Hermes Sadler on their programming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How about fucking try and run a live event on. Yeah, I mean, they had
Spike TV.
They had Spike TV, you know what I mean? You could have fucking done a quick, easy, like, Mansers featuring fucking TNA or any of their shows.
I mean, you had Jesse James show on there.
Any of those shows that did better than TNA, let's do a fucking rock and wrestling goddamn connection. I guess it's just a perfect storm and perfect timing. I mean, I'm shooting a lot of what ifs here and shit.
And also got to remember that Hogan did a movie, so he had ties to Mr. T, who had ties to a lot of people. Albano with
MTV was trying to get out of only being a video network and have live specials.
They were reaching to be entertainment.
Yeah,
at this point, you can tell.
They were trying for things like this. But if you remember, like WCW did MTV Spring Break special, like they would do like a half hour battle royal or something, you know, and shit like that, like where you just co-brand real quick for like one little TV show.
Yeah.
And
give,
you know,
both people a little, you know, slice of the pie.
Yeah. So, because I mean, that's why a lot of people don't do it. It's like,
they want the whole thing.
I don't want them to, but you get more monetary value post the merger than you do off the merger. You know what I mean?
Maybe more possible viewership.
Yeah, it even just it comes down to like dumb shit with just like even when you try and book when I try and book people on the main show podcast or something, it's like, why wouldn't you come and just co-brand yourself here for one episode? And you know what I mean? If you get one or two more fans because of it, you get one or two more fans.
That's a positive.
You know what I mean? Exactly. If you get 100 more fans because of it, you get 100.
If you get zero more, it was worth the try.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, so that shit goes with self-promotion, a company promotion, marketing.
Any promotion in general.
Yeah, all right. So I think next week, Derek, I'll see what you think about this. I have a little pack of AIW events.
Nice.
So I figured maybe I'll cherry pick like three of them. And,
that'd be definitely cool.
And we'll throw the AIW events on the pool so we can do some local Cleveland stuff for a change.
Yeah, for sure.
It's the AI, I have like eight of the AIW Absolution events. And some of them have, they have, you know, Seth Rollins as Tyler Black.
Black
and
yeah.
And they have Johnny Gargano and a bunch of all those guys on all these events. So
yeah, it's not like it's going to be weak talent.
I'll pick like three of them and throw them on a poll later today.
Nice.
And maybe you and I might need to talk because I don't know if you want to try and get an episode out by this weekend or if you want to just wait till next week or what you want to do.
I have Saturday off.
Yeah.
I have Sunday off.
What do you work tomorrow?
5 to noon.
So maybe we can bang one out tomorrow and then just release it Sunday or something. This we can talk about this after the podcast. But
nice.
Anyway, yeah. So I'll put something on the poll today.
We were
and
Mean Gene.
Yeah.
With the okay right there.
Okay, man. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to do the yeah. You didn't give me the
okay.
Yeah.
Enzigiri and we're out.
Yeah.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.